Have you ever thought about joining the international porn industry? Or to buy the services of a human smuggler? No? Well, after this podcast, you might consider it. Kabir Jangram, a journalism student at the Wits University in Johannesburg, met with independent journalist Elena Leda and investigative reporter Nikolai Atefi during the 2024 IMED International Journalism Forum in Athens and discussed the challenges of reporting undercover for the forum's pop-up newsroom.
My name is Elena Leda. I'm an independent journalist from Sardinia based in Barcelona, and I'm a journalism professor.
And my name is Nicola Tefi. I grew up in Austria. I'm an investigative journalist, and I work for mainly public service media across Europe.
Okay. Thank you guys for being with me today. I wanted to just start by asking, so I don't want to ask anything that you know you guys have already covered in the conference. So I wanted to ask, what made you guys want to get into undercover journalism? What motivated you guys to get into this?
In the stories that I did, it wasn't possible otherwise to get a story that is important to report. It's really the last method you should use, because there's many moral concerns.
Yeah, I feel a bit the same. Like every time I did that was because I felt it was the only way to get some kind of information that I thought was important for the public to know, but wasn't able to find otherwise.
Okay. Yeah. And you just said that morally, there's a lot of gray area there. So can you expand on that a bit for me?
I think that our journalist sources relationship, even when it's not undercover, has to do with hiding things. It's not a really honest relationship because you want to get things out of people, and you ask many things but say very little. So I think we have to put into context that the ethics is very important in all kind of journalism. It's not that undercover brings you to lead with ethical problems and the other forms of journalism don't. But in this case, it's very obvious that you're hiding so much information, you're hiding your identity. So you're not giving the people the possibility to know who they're speaking with. So I think we have to be even more careful, and I agree with Nikolai that many times what our responsibility is to explain how system works and who's responsible, but we end up talking to people who might have their responsibility, but often they're not the main responsible. So I think it's important that we don't signal them as the ones doing the wrongdoings, especially if we've always hidden information, so we're also somehow guilty of something, in a way.
Okay, so from what I understand, from what you guys are saying now, and from in the discussion, is you guys you can't get too close with people, and at the same time, it sounds like you can't really confide in your family and friends while you're going undercover. First of all, am I correct with that? Or?
You have to get close to them to gain trust. But you don't want to hurt them on a personal level, because to some extent they're only doing their job. It depends, of course, what their job is. For example, if you're working in the advertisement industry of the porn industry, it can be problematic, but this is not like life and death. This is maybe about fraud, about betraying people for money. But there is a small wheel in a big machine, and then, yeah. It's difficult, but you need to get close to them. Of course, the goal, I would say, is always to find the men in the background that are really steering. And you need sometimes to do this undercover investigation in order to get there.
I also think that as journalists, we have to have many senses, like really wide open. And one is the common sense that I think we shouldn't forget. So, for instance, when I was investigating the sex webcam industry, I pretended I was a user of one of these webcam platforms. But then when I reached out to the clients, I told them, look, I'm a journalist, I'm doing this. Do you want to talk to me? Let's see, find a way. So I don't want my name to be out, okay?
So you see, like with what you're describing now, and then you're saying you were like this rape victim confides in you. And I remember you said that, you know, you had to watch hours of porn and all this, it sounds like it takes a heavy mental toll on you. How do you cope with that? yeah, how do you protect yourself in all of this?
I think that vicarious trauma, which is what we're talking about, it's called vicarious trauma or however you pronounce. So the fact that you are exposed to images that are violent and can cause you like mental health toll is an issue. But I also think that the stories, the people are facing much worse situations than we are. And most of our mental trauma deal with the fact that we work in precarious situations, that we can't pay our rent, that we have financial insecurity. So I would put this vicarious trauma and this all poor us exposed to all this drama first in the context that there are people suffering much more than us, that is our sources. And second, that most of our real mental health problems are elsewhere. They have decision-making responsibilities by the governments, the trade unions, our bosses and stuff, and we should tackle those, not to lose focus on what the real problems are.
Is there ever a point where, you know, you've kind of almost or had to be involved in criminal activity? No.
Not in my case.
No. You shouldn't go there as a journalist. Unless it's of a global importance, then you have to, put it on a scale.
And I think not only it's important that we don't commit a crime, but we don't have to solicit the others to commit a crime. Like invite them to commit a crime by asking some questions. It's very important because otherwise you are manipulating also. You're leading people to.
Yes.
It's very delicate thing.
Okay.
You know?
Okay, yeah.
If I want to give you an example, for example, if you want to investigate the situation in a jail and the jail, the state is not allowing you to enter it, I think I would steal a package of milk and pretend to not be able to pay for the fine and get jailed for 1-2 days. If I really have a very, very strong hypothesis that the situation at jail is terrible and need to be reported.
I mean, you're getting arrested for it. Okay, I hear that. So I think I'd love to continue, but I have to keep the time. So I just have one final question for you guys. Because with everything you're describing, it sounds like there's a lot of challenges that go into being an undercover journalist. And what do you think it takes to become one? Like, what type of person do you think you need to be to go into undercover journalism?
I wouldn't consider myself as an undercover journalist, because every story I do, I think, how can I do it with the best result? And fortunately, often I don't need to go undercover because it takes a lot of resources and energy and preparation. And luckily, in the end, you find sources anyways before you go undercover. And I forgot your question.
What it takes.
Yeah.
What it takes. I think you need to enjoy acting. You do it in real life, and I really enjoy acting.
Okay.
And
do you come from like a background of acting?
No, but I wish.
It's never too late.
I come from a background of acting.
But I think that I don't consider myself as an undercover journalist neither. Like, for every story I try to find best way to be able to tell the story and to find the information that I think I need to tell the story. I do think that what it takes to be a good journalist is always the same, whether you are going undercover or not, and that's basically curiosity, empathy, and responsibility, I think.
Mixed and sound design by Aris Athanasopoulos. For more audio content by IMED, visit podcast.imed.org.